mindset for change? What does it really mean to be open to change? In my career and in my experience, you know, there's a lot of people that say, yes, I want to change, I want things to change, until that change happens to them. And that's usually when fear sets in and when we start thinking about it differently and think, ooh, I don't know if change is so great, right? Up until that point, we're open to it. And so this is a topic that I really wanted to bring to our listeners, because I think all of us struggle with this, whether it's in our personal lives or our professional lives, is that change is constant, but it doesn't mean that change is easy. And how do we give our, how do we teach ourselves the skills to be able to get through that change? So I am so blessed to be able to have Alicia Webb, the president of Village Bank, here with me, and a dear friend of mine. And so to say she's busy is an understatement. So I appreciate you being here, Alicia.
Thank you.
And we're going to talk today about change, because she is a change maker. She's someone that's really trying to drive change in the banking industry, but also in the culture of the organization that she's running. And so I'm going to let you, Alicia, just give a little bit of background so our listeners can kind of understand where you've been, where you are, and where you're going.
Oh, thank you so much for having me today, Jamie. I feel blessed to be here with you. I feel like every time I'm with you, I learn something new that I get to bring back to the organization, I get to bring back to my villagers that I care so much about. So my name is Alicia Webb, and I'm a banker. That's what I do for a living. I started at Village Bank almost 20 years ago now as a teller. And the woman that trained me in as a teller is still at Village Bank. She'll probably share with you that I'm the worst teller she had ever met, which I'm okay with, and why I appreciate our teller so much today. And I was able to work in a lot of different positions at Village Bank, and realized since my dad had started the bank that it was important that I went out on my own, and I knew I had to learn from other bankers and know what change was going to happen in the industry and understand what other banks did to be able to be successful back at Village Bank. So I was able to go work for a large publicly traded bank. I learned so much there. I worked for a woman who will famously say she turned me from a community banker to a commercial banker, and worked with great people who taught me a lot about credit, a lot about process, a lot about treasury management and the ways banks make money today. After that, I was able to go work for another local bank, over $1 billion in the city. And that bank taught me a lot about culture. That bank taught me a lot about who I was as a person, what I valued, what I value on a team, and what's important to me as I looked to not only build my family — at that time I was having my children and building my family — but also building my professional and personal network, and then in building a business team. In building a business team that had the same values and shared the same values that I did, and we worked together cohesively, that was so important. So when we talk about change, I think between Village Bank and the other two organizations I worked for, could not have been more different from each other. Could not have been more change. And I really believe my two experiences at those outside organizations are what brought me home, what brought me back to Village to say, all right, if I'm going to work this hard and I'm going to be this passionate about what I do, I want to do it at home. I want to do it for my village. And so a big piece of coming home to Village was recognizing that in order to be not a bank, but be a business today, we were going to have to embrace change. We were going to have to honor change, respect change, and really lead change in order to be a business that's going to survive today.
Yeah, and you, I have so much respect for you and your story, and you kind of touched on it, but I just want to touch on it a little deeper, is that you were in a family business and chose to leave to get uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable,
yeah. Right? Change. You could have stayed and stayed comfortable like a lot of people do. And it's not just family businesses. They stay at some place because it just feels like, you know, a warm robe, right? We're super, we're in our bunny slippers and a robe because it just feels good. And for someone to be able to step out of that and jump off the cliff and say, I have to, as a leader, change and think differently, I respect that so much. And that's the epitome of change, is getting uncomfortable.
It was uncomfortable. I mean, I have to admit, it was very uncomfortable personally and professionally. Mm-hmm. It's always hard to leave a family business and have that conversation with your family. Mm-hmm. It's very uncomfortable. In hindsight, I think Don, my dad, our CEO and chairman, will tell you it's the best thing that ever happened to us.
Yep.
I will tell you it's the best thing that ever happened to us because I'm able to bring a new skill set and experience back to Village, along with my passion in that I just truly love our Village. I mean, combine those two and that's yep. magic. So it was hard. I will say that leaving the network that I had had since I was really a little girl and then I had built up through my undergrad, my MBA, graduate school of banking, you know, all that good stuff, that was tough to leave too. Make a whole new network because I wasn't going to be taking from my Village.
Uh-huh.
I really had to start over. And I was in my I was in my 30s, so it wasn't like it was easy. I'd already had some time in the banking industry. But what I will say is it's change. You reinvent yourself. You continue to grow. You say, all right, I got this. I have to learn this piece now. I have to learn that piece now. And I think in any business you're in today, you have to continue to reinvent yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, technology is changing every single day. Heck, you're gonna might have a new manager tomorrow. You
yeah.
might have a new client the next day. You have to continue to reinvent yourself
yeah.
for what they need and they expect.
And what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the biggest thing when I think about change is the fear of change.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
why so many, you know, personal and professional,
mm-hmm.
why people are so fearful of change, right? And you've managed a lot of people is why do you think
mm-hmm.
that is?
It's the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
It's the unknown. And I never take it personally. Like the one thing I know is anytime we're gonna talk about something being different, everyone automatically thinks, how does it affect me? And I want them to think that. Like, I want people that care about themselves. So that's okay. And I think as someone that's going to be implementing change over and over, whether, and you know, you don't have to be a president of a company. You don't have to be a manager, a leader. I mean, you can be brand new at a company and just really support that change. And you can be the leader. I mean, that is not a problem. I can think of leaders across our org chart that might not have the fancy title, but my gosh, they are my go-tos when there's going to be change.
Yeah.
And I think that it's, how does it affect me? So it's important that we continue to address exactly how it's going to affect everyone. I think the other piece that's been really interesting and, you know, as I talk about those two experiences outside of the organization, it's not always knowing what you want in life. I've always found it's knowing what I won't put up with. It's knowing that what my values are and this does not align with who I am as a person because I'm one of those people that I can't feel good about what I'm doing if I don't feel good about it. Like, I'm not going to be
think that's human beings.
As successful.
You just can admit it and address
it. Oh, yeah.
It.
Mm-hmm.
I just had this conversation with a young gentleman in his career in his
mm-hmm.
30s this week, and he's like, I don't know if I can stay here because of the environment doesn't align to my values.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, if that's fundamentally, we can't fix that,
mm-hmm.
right? We can fix the skill set. We can fix other things. You know, you don't have the skills needed. We can't fix if the values aren't aligned.
Mm-mm. You can't. And I think that, you know, at Village Bank, what we're doing right now is really aligning those values and identifying what the values of the Village are. Lifetime learner, achiever. Our villagers want to earn what they have. Like, that's important. And we're going to help our clients earn and get to their goals. That's important for us both
mm-hmm.
internally and externally. And really saying, you know, it's okay. How do we align together? If we don't, why not? What are we missing? Are we missing something?
Yep.
Is there something that we
that,
should
or
be
we
doing
need to
more?
Change? Yeah.
Exactly.
Is there
do
we
need
to
change? Are we sending the right message too? And so that's the one piece that I've learned that, you know, you might not know where the heck you're going all the time, right? Like, that's okay. That's called life.
Gotta figure it out, yeah.
But you do need to know what you don't want. You do need to know
yeah.
what doesn't align with where you're going.
And I think that's a big piece in people being, you know, having a fear of change. I look at the word change kind of like I look at the word conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Is in the absence of trust,
mm-hmm.
it's negative.
Mm-hmm.
Change and conflict are negative when
mm-hmm.
trust isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
but change and conflict can be positive.
Yes.
Right? There is such a thing as positive conflict. It's
absolutely
called debate, right? Where you're able to get to the right answer because you're taking all of the different ideas into it. Change is the same thing, but I think people are fearful of change because all of us have been through mm-hmm. a horrible change.
Absolutely.
So we immediately go there to mm-hmm. say, yeah, last time I was part of that, that didn't go right. Mm-hmm. Dead bodies in the wake, right? Mm-hmm. It was just not a good situation. So our minds go back when we hear change or something's going to change, and we go back into the files, mm-hmm. pull that one up and say, this is going to be bad.
That is interesting. I think you are dead on, Jamie, that if it's up to us as leaders and it's up to us as people that are implementing that change, mm-hmm. that we manage that process.
Yes.
So even if maybe a villager might not know me well enough yet or might not have 100% trust in the change, they at least are part of that process and we're managing it.
Yes.
So they can get there.
And you're building trust along the way because, you said, you might not have it.
Mm-hmm.
But helping them understand, and I won't give the example before we started recording, you were talking about some changes that you're making that are positive changes
exactly.
for the bank.
Yes.
Right? So we need to make sure we're making positive changes that when a change that can be perceived as negative comes,
mm-hmm.
people are like, you know what, though? I trust them. I know this is the right thing for the bank
mm-hmm.
or for the business.
Mm-hmm.
Is it can't just all be in the chaos, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something has to happen, and we save that for when we're trying to build trust.
Mm-hmm.
You have to build it in before that, right?
Yeah,
proactively.
You know, one of my most favorite HR, I have a friend in HR, and she shared this example with me. It's one of my most favorite examples to use. It goes, okay, so we know we're going to implement X, and sitting down with your team and saying, okay, you understand X, you agree with X, you're on board. You get X, you're trying to figure it out, but yes, you'll support it. Or you completely disagree with change X.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think it's best for the company, but guess what? You're on board and you're going to support it.
Yeah.
And it's having that conversation with each individual to say, where are you?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they still support it. And they
yes.
are agreeing to be on the team.
Yes.
And I think that's so powerful. And I've actually done it with myself. I've said, all right, yep, my team
where
wants this.
Yep.
We're a democracy. We're going to figure this out, guys. Yep, you're on board. All right, I'm on board. Let's do this.
Yep.
I think that's really important to expect that from our teams, but then also bring it back on yourself too and expect it from yourself and then be on board and be an example.
Yes, and you know, we're talking about change from change impacting us, but as leaders in our organizations, we also have to be thinking about that journey,
mm-hmm.
like you said, about how we bring people along on the change curve. There's
mm-hmm.
actually a change curve
yes.
and five different
yeah.
steps in it. And where do we need people to be?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're talking a lot with our clients right now about communication and vulnerability and really sharing, developing
mm-hmm.
that trust. And with change, what we guide them on is being able to say, here's what we know is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Here's pieces we're not sure of
mm-hmm.
that could, right? Other things that could come out of this, we're
mm-hmm.
not sure. Here's what we know won't happen,
mm-hmm.
right? Where no one's going to lose their job. Like, in
yeah.
addressing all of it instead of just, here's what's happening.
Exactly.
Right? Giving them the full picture that
mm-hmm.
there might be a few pieces we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll figure them out as a team,
mm-hmm.
right, when we hit them.
Mm-hmm.
But having that vulnerability to just say, here's what we know, here's what we don't know, is, I think, builds trust in a change environment as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. I'm 42. I'm a woman. You know, CEO is my dad, right? Like, I'm sitting in all these buckets that are very popular in some circles and very unpopular in
mm-hmm.
other circles. I can be very honest and vulnerable about that. I think what I have embraced, and I hope I've embraced this well. If I haven't, I want my team to give me feedback on this, is that, like, I do not know. I am not a 60-year-old male that has been a bank president at three other community banks and has a recipe. Like, that is not who I am. I don't want to be that. I really do want to say, what is community banking today? And how do we continue to commit to planting both feet in the ground and saying, we are going to be a community bank. We are not going to sell out to a big bank.
Mm-hmm.
We are not going to do what a lot of banks in our area are doing, selling out, merging, going away, being publicly traded. That is, we want to be community. We want to be local decision makers. We want to live in the same neighborhoods and have our children go to school where our clients' kids go to school, where our villagers' kids go to school. Like, that is so important to us, because guess what? When we make a decision at credit committee, or we make a decision to donate to our community, like, I'm running into those people at the grocery store.
Yeah.
I'm running into those people at dance class. That is what, and there's a responsibility then to make the right decision. There's a responsibility. So, you know, it's interesting that we don't always, I don't have a recipe, and I've been very honest with my team about that. I know I'm hiring people smarter than me that are joining us. I know I already work with people that are smarter than me. One of the things I write at almost at the last sentence in almost every team email I have, or the last thing I say at almost every one of our senior leadership team meetings, is tell me where I'm wrong. Like, think about it, guys. You guys got to let me know what I missed. Where am I wrong? Because that it's so important to me that we have a variety of opinions, experiences, and skill sets coming to the table, so we can really think and make really good decisions that aren't based on my bias or their bias or banking's bias, but are based on being a local decision-making business.
Yeah, and you're taking the hard road. The hard road is to stay a community bank.
Oh, yeah.
Right? We have a lot of clients in the banking industry. That's the hard road now. It's a lot easier to say, right, we're going to go merge, or we're going to get up. Right? That's the easy out. Take it and ride into the sunset. To stay a community bank, because you know that's what the community wants, is the hard. So I just commend you for that, because I think it's hard every day.
It is, but why take the easy road, right? Like, that's boring. I think you're a mom, you're a business owner, like, you get it. Like, easy is boring. Like, we've got to have, you know, and quite frankly, when you get to work with 84 people like I work with, it's a very, very easy decision. You know, Don started the bank 26 years ago because he did not like bankers. He has been an entrepreneur since he was 18 years old.
The anti-banker?
Yes, and he said, who are all these, you know, bankers? Like, what? They're not making good business decisions. They're making decisions that, quite frankly, are on past financials and past decisions. And let's look forward. And, you know, let's take all of the information going forward. So he is, I mean, his business acumen is incredible to this day. He will pick out things that I didn't even see coming. And I have a lot more to learn there. My background is truly banking. You know, my background is understanding the financials, understanding the cash flow, really digging into what the FDIC regulations are and knowing what that box is and how we play in that box. And I think that that's why Village will be successful, because it can have the best of both worlds. I think that it's just that passion for community. It's that passion for people. It's that passion for new business ideas. It's the advocacy for our clients. That's going to be the big piece that makes it pretty darn easy.
And not worrying what everybody else is doing, but doing what's right for you, for you guys.
Even when it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Even when you have, you know, there's strategy, right? You've got your 1 year, your 3, 5, 10 year strategy, and you follow this path. And then it gets to the squishy place in between where strategy is being implemented, but you're not seeing the effects of that yet. Mm-hmm. Or the effects you're seeing up front don't always feel comfortable because it's not at the end yet. And that's the part where everyone has to sit down at the table and say, all right, this is that uncomfortable piece. Yes. This is that squishy piece. Are we going to stay? We're staying. We're staying the course. And that's the piece that I'm really proud of. I'm really proud of what we're doing, and I'm really proud of the Village, because it is hard to make change, especially in an industry like banking, regulated, old, right?
Yeah.
Old.
Not as flexible. Yeah. Doesn't have as, it's not as innovative, right? I mean, you can be, but not in the same way that other businesses can.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Very regulated. And banking has a huge responsibility. I mean, think back to when, you know, townships and cities, and it was, you had your church, you had your bank, you had your post office, right? Yeah. You had your general store. That bank, so, you know, people went to church for spiritual support. They went to their bank to start their business.
Yep.
I mean, that's like, we are a staple in the community. And to say, do we want our decision making to be made here based on those local businesses, or do we want it to be based somewhere else where people don't know or understand?
Based just on numbers
and mm-hmm.
spreadsheets
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
is what happens.
It's different. Or what is shareholders' value, right? What is that shareholder?
So I'm curious, based on that, and you were talking about the growth you guys
mm-hmm.
are having in terms
mm-hmm.
of people, how do you kind of weed people out on that mindset of change? Because
yeah.
it's...
Mm-hmm.
traditional industry people might not look at it the way you guys are looking at it, right? Or have the
mm-hmm.
values the same way. So kind
mm-hmm.
of what are you looking for when you're looking for that mindset of change?
You know, this time has been a blessing. I have to say, I've been at the bank for almost a year now, and really in the Twin Cities, banking has been impacted. I mean, there's been such a huge impact
mm-hmm.
in banking today. We've had a lot of local banks, some of the best local banks in town, quite frankly, have sold to outstate banks, merged, sold to publicly traded entities, etc. And there's a wide range of bankers, community bankers today, that want to continue to be community bankers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're struggling, and they're
mm-hmm.
good people. And they, again, live next door to their clients. They
mm-hmm.
go to school. You know, their kids are going to school.
That's why they started doing it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they're struggling right now. And
mm-hmm.
so we want to be a home for them. We want to say, you know, every single person I meet, and it's never an interview. It's always just a let's have a cup of coffee and talk about who you are.
Mm-hmm.
First question is, do you want to build something? Always, do you want to build something? Because we're going to build something special.
Yep.
We're building a community bank. We're building a Twin Cities community bank. We're not here, we're not here to sell out. We've planted both feet in the ground. I mean, Don made a very large commitment to his villagers, to his community, and to me when we said, all right, what are we going to do? There's a lot of opportunity right now, both
mm-hmm.
ways.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make a good decision. Let's make a long-term decision. And this is the decision we made. So anytime I'm meeting with anyone right now, do you want to build something?
And you're so confident in it, which I think sends a different message too,
yeah.
because you're so aligned.
We are. We're just,
it,
it just, and that's why the hires that we've made to date are so amazing. And like they, I don't know why I'm always so surprised, but they already care so much about those villagers that we have on board.
Mm-hmm.
They care so much about them on day one, which puts our villagers at ease, right? Because they're like,
yep.
oh gosh, new people, right?
Yeah.
But there's already like synergies there, which
yep.
is so nice to see, because, you know, it's like that old Girl Scout saying, you make new friends, keep the old, one
yeah.
is silver and one is gold. They're all gold. And we've got to make sure that they're, you got the old and the new
yeah.
working together.
When you go through a change like that,
mm-hmm.
or you're shifting the culture, I wouldn't
mm-hmm.
say you're like turning it upside down, but you're shifting the culture, that doesn't fit for everybody.
Mm-mm.
So as
mm-hmm.
a leader, right, what guidance would you give our listeners on when there's people that can't go through that change with you
mm-hmm.
or don't want to,
mm-hmm.
right, from a value standpoint, or they're not ready to build.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I just don't want to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've been there, or
mm-hmm.
what approach have you had to take
mm-hmm.
there?
A couple of pieces is you have to stay consistent to your message. You can't
yep.
bend. You have to stay consistent. And that's hard, right? Because I feel like that's when the sticky situations come out, and you have to
yep.
stay consistent with your message. And I think... behind closed doors, you have a lot of conversations too, because you have to be very respectful to people. It's not fair to come in and expect that everyone's going to think it's great that you're there.
Changing.
Yeah. I mean, that's not fair to think that. I haven't always thought that. Why would I expect someone to think that now? So being very respectful, I think also really listening. You know, we have such a great team at the bank, both at the board level, at the villager level, and then just at like our client level, our friends level, our COI level. And they've given me a lot of feedback that has been a blessing, right? And what I will say is, not the good feedback, great, thank you, like I'm glad that you like the changes we're making, I'm glad that you like the impact we're making, committing to our community through new hires, lending in our community. But that the feedback that is out sometimes tougher to hear,
mm-hmm.
you know, don't forget this. Have you paid attention to this? This is the message.
We're missing something.
Yep,
yeah.
You missed this. hey, I think you might have meant to say this, but this is what this person heard, or I heard, or this, that is so valuable. Mm-hmm. And I think anyone needs to be thinking about that and really, really listen to that negative, not negative, I don't want to say negative feedback, but all feedback.
It's constructive. I mean, it's because that's how we grow, right? And
yeah.
how we change. And but that also goes back to the values, because if you're in an organization where that's not accepted,
mm-hmm.
then we teach our people how to behave
mm-hmm.
by not accepting it,
mm-hmm.
right? You know the bank can't build and grow
mm-hmm.
on just your ideas.
Mm-hmm.
It's
oh,
never
gosh,
gonna happen.
No.
Right? I mean,
no, and we have to be transparent when we fail. There was a banker who pointed something out to me, and I actually wrote him back an email, and I said, you are 100% right. I was wrong, period, and I sent it. And then I had a meeting with him, I think, 2 or 3 days later, and I said, you didn't respond to that. Like, I told you I was wrong. Why didn't you say thank you for saying you're wrong? He's like, well, I didn't know if you wanted me to point it out or not.
Yeah.
I'm like, no. I
salt in the wound.
Exactly.
You were already wrong.
And he said, no. I sent that to you because I wanted you to know, like, I was wrong. Like, I want to create this culture where, like, we're wrong. I'm wrong every single day at
yes.
some point. Probably a couple times.
It reminds me. I just listened to a podcast. Rachel Hollis was talking.
Yeah.
And she was like, we all suck. If you don't think you suck sometimes,
mm-hmm.
then you're wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
We all screw up. We
mm-hmm.
all make decisions that maybe weren't the best, right? They're
mm-hmm.
from the right place, but they didn't. And it was just that word suck. And she's like, if you can't come to the point that you understand that you suck sometimes,
mm-hmm.
then it's going to be a really tough road.
It's so tough. And if you don't have, I mean, my gosh, hang out with a little kid. They'll tell you all the time how many times
your
you're
kids
wrong.
Will humble you.
It's
yes.
so humbling. You know, I heard a message. So my husband and I go to Eagle Brook on Saturday nights. And we always say it's kind of our date night, and we get to listen to this message. And what I really like about Eagle Brook is it's like they involve you know, they involve religion, but they also involve like secular messages. And so you're getting messages that fit with today's culture. And one of the messages was that we're so able to talk about, you know, I made a mistake or I was wrong, but you know, we're all sinners. We all make mistakes. Like, those things happen in life. And I think it's okay for us just to admit that.
Give ourselves some grace to, yeah.
Okay with it.
It's not about perfection. It's
no.
about progression.
No.
Are we growing and learning from it? That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
Is there's no avoiding it.
And I found myself saying words like, oh, that was perfect. Oh, you did that
I know,
perfect.
I hate that
That's
word.
So great. And then I heard my 4-year-old say, Mommy, I was perfect. Mommy, did I do that perfect? And I really thought about that,
like,
because it
oh
shocked
gosh.
Me, because I thought, am I making her think it has to be perfect? And then I went to, do I make my villagers think that they have to be perfect?
Yeah.
And then do I put that on myself, that I have to be perfect? And what kind of message do we send when we say that to our 4-year-old or our 40-year-old or our 84-year-old? Like, holy moly. And
yeah.
I think that's something that it's
yeah.
almost more powerful to say, I was wrong, and actually put it in writing.
It feels good sometimes.
Than to say, perfect.
I
don't want to make anyone feel like they have to be perfect.
It doesn't exist.
Mm-mm.
It's all subjective. It doesn't, the perfection doesn't exist. So that could be a whole nother podcast.
Oh, yeah.
In and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
I know this has shifted paradigms for our listeners, because I think this is just such a topic that it doesn't matter, personal or professional, what you're going
mm-hmm.
through. This is something we all have to embrace.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have to figure out how to get through. I always
mm-hmm.
say, you have to go through change.
Mm-hmm.
There's no shortcut. There's
mm-hmm.
You can't go around it. You can't go over it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You have to go through it.
Mm-hmm.
Any other just words of wisdom or advice for our listeners that, you know, just as we're all trying to get unstuck and get to that next level of success,
mm-hmm.
anything
mm-hmm.
else you've learned along the way?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I'm super type A. I'm super bold. I love meeting new people. I'm an extrovert. 99%, anyone that follows, you know, insights, I'm very, very red. I think we say I'm my, you know, on my red bracelet, it's be bold, be brief, be gone, right?
Yeah.
So I'm super red. What I will say is I really think my superpower is I always find silent time to think. And I found the more time I have to think and I have to read, listen to podcasts like this, taking all of that information in, taking all of that feedback in. Shane Parrish is another one I love to listen to. He has a lot of articles on and blogs on just how do you make decisions and how do you take bias out of decisions? How do you think? How do you bring information together to make decisions that are right for your organization or right for your family or right for your clients? But how do you, your community, how do you bring it all together to make decisions that are not biased or in the moment? You know, you think of how social media impacts you. You think of, you know, what is the news of the moment impact you? How do we think long term? That has been so important.
It's that clarity of your mind being able to slow down, because a lot of the answers to the problems are in there, right? But we run at 150 miles an hour, and we don't ever slow down to say, I need to think about this, right? It's an actual deliberate act.
It is.
That you have to do.
You have to stop and think. You've got to turn the phone off. You know, I've turned off. I don't get alerts on social media. I don't get alerts on my email. Yeah. I don't get alerts anymore. Except for my children's school, just in case. But other than that, you've got to take the time. It'll all be there in the end. But when you're making decisions for 84 families, that's a big deal. That's something that we take very, very seriously.
You can't make them just emotionally off the cuff.
No, you can't. It's impacting 84 families today that we employ. And that's a responsibility that if you don't feel it, you shouldn't be doing the job. I mean, quite frankly, you just shouldn't do the job. And Don feels it, and I'm fortunate enough that he's instilled that in me, and that our villagers, when I get to walk in and hear their successes, like, I feel that every day. So I do shut off the phone. I do read a lot. I do spend a lot of quiet time just really thinking about how is this going to impact across the board.
Yeah.
I think that more... It's something that I want to do more of. That for 2019, that was something that I said I'm going to take an hour to do this every day. And so far, knock on wood, it's happened. So.
Awesome.
Yes.
Perfect. Well, thank you again for being here. You are a force, but such a positive force.
Thank
and
you.
To hear the story about what you're doing with your organization, I think is inspiring for other people that we do not have to follow the path that everyone else has traveled, right? We can change the story. We can change kind of how we show up. I know people hearing about this are going to want to know more about Village and what you do. So what's a good way for people just to get more information about this amazing culture that you're building?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, so our web address is villagebankonline.com. You can find me on LinkedIn at Alicia Webb. It's A-L-E-E-S-H-A. Last name is Webb, W-E-B-B. Anyone can feel free to email me at any time at awebb@villagebankonline.com. I would love to hear feedback from people and, you know, anyone that wants to support our village. We are looking to grow. I mean, we want to be...
That's awesome.
We want to transform community banking. We want to be around for a while.
That's fantastic. And we'll make sure, for those of you, I know people drive and run and do other things while they're listening to podcasts, so we'll make sure we get all that information in the podcast notes so that people can find it and connect with you.
Thank you.
And to our listeners, you know, I'm so grateful that you continue to come back. Our listener base is growing by leaps and bounds, and we want to make sure you get the latest and greatest, so make sure you're subscribing so you know when we release a new podcast. Give us ratings and reviews. Go out and rate this podcast. Let us know if this was something that really resonated with you, because that helps us drive future conversations, because we're doing this to help support you guys, right? To figure out what that thing is that you're stuck on, that's really impeding you from growing to that next level of success and being authentically you and fulfilled. So please make sure and engage. And as always, thank you for being here, and make sure that you're spending time using your superpowers to get to that next level of success. Thanks, everyone.